Welcome. Welcome to worship. We're excited that you are here today. We'd like to find out who is in worship. And the way we do that, there are pew pads that you'll find on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. If you could take those pew pads, write your name down, give us any contact information, check the correct boxes. That would help us find out a little bit about you and who is in worship today. We do ask, once that pew pad goes all the way down the pew, everybody has a chance to fill that out. We do ask for that last person, send it back down the pews. When it gets back to that first person, if you could tear out the pages that were used today, that our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us out with that. A few announcements I'd like to point out. Many of these are listed under opportunities for the week. Some of them are not, but I just want to make you aware of a couple things. Today is our White Christmas, where many of our church family has pulled together our resources and provided both food and presents for families in our community and our church. And this is an act of worship. And what we're asking you to do, if you have a White Christmas package or item to bring forward, we're going to do that during the first hymn today, hymn number 101. So at the beginning of that hymn, we ask that there is no basket, but you can just bring your White Christmas gift and place it under either of the chrismon trees. So if you could help us out with that during that first hymn. You'll see behind me we are the candles that I think are still lit. Yes, we have the candles are lit. We have a total of 10,230 for our Christmas missions offering, our Lottie Moon and our CBF Global Missions offering. Our goal is 25,000. We're almost halfway there, and we need everybody to pitch in as they're able to get us to that goal of 25,000. And you see the two candles there representing what we have collected so far. Also, a couple of things that are happening today. This afternoon, our youth ministry council, we are meeting at 4 o'clock. The rest of the family ministry team, we are not meeting. Just the youth council today at 4. And then tonight, you do not want to miss tonight's musical. Our youth and our children have put together a great Christmas presentation. It will begin at 6 o'clock here in this is not Smith Hall. This is the sanctuary, just in case you need to know. 6 o'clock tonight in the sanctuary, our youth and our children will be presenting their musical, and we hope that you come and support them, and you will be blessed by all the work that the youth, the children, and their leaders have put in. So please be here tonight, and there will be a fellowship afterwards. So just come for the food, and we do that pretty well. Progressive dinner for the youth this Thursday night from 5 until 9, and we want you to be a part of that. We want to thank the Grogan family. They have again provided the white treat bags, the Christmas treat bags, and we are so thankful for all that for our preschoolers, our children, and our youth. If you have not gotten one of those, they are at the entrance to the church. Many of you have picked them up, but I know many have not, so please pick those up, and we thank the Grogan family especially this time. Let's see. We want to say a special welcome to our guest this morning. You have already given us your information on the pew pad, and we appreciate that. We'd like to give something back to you. So if you're a guest this morning, we welcome you to worship, and we ask you just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will recognize you and give you a packet of information. So raise your hand right where you are. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our congregation. Also, you'll find a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So thank you for being a part of worship this morning. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent, the fourth Sunday of preparation for the coming of Christ. And we've invited families to help us in worship, to lead us in worship. And today we're inviting the Caldwell family to come now.
From Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand to double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
And from the New Testament, 1 John 4, 7-16. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we so also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he is God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us.
Today we light the candle of love.
everlasting sun, incarnate things to be, servant born, day on to set his servants free. Despise, peace he comes to bring. Redeemer of the light, he soon will come again. Scattered saints unite with him in heaven to reign. Come, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel.
Will you pray with me? Father, the good news, Jesus Christ is coming. You are with us. And that is the best news ever. So, Father, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, as we are preparing for the coming of Jesus, remind us what this season is truly about. About you loving us enough to send us your Son. To be with us. And even now, your Holy Spirit surrounds us, speaks to us, resides in us. And for that, we come to worship. For that love that you gave, we come to worship. In Jesus' name, amen.
As we enter into a time of congregational prayer and in the spirit of Christ's love at Christmas, I want to ask your prayers for two of our church families who are hurting following some deaths in the past 2 days. First, on Friday, one of our dear friends, Eva Wells, passed away here in town. And the service for Eva will be here in the sanctuary at 11 o'clock on Wednesday with visitation to precede that. So please be in prayer for Eva's daughter, Linda, and the Wells Winters family. And also yesterday in South Carolina, Miss Mabel Bullard, one of our dear church members, passed away. And the arrangements have not been set yet for Miss Bullard's service, but we'll let you know about that here in the next few days. Should hopefully know about that by tomorrow. And certainly remember the Bullard family in your prayers as well. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, as we gather in your house on this fourth Sunday of Advent, it's a blessing to be here, and as Jeff has prayed, we feel your spirit all around us at Christmas, and we feel the anticipation and the joy about the coming of the Christ child and what that means in our lives. Lord, this morning on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we think about love. We light the candle that represents the love that you have for us. The love that means everything in our lives, the Lord, love that we thank you so much for. We've already heard this morning in your holy word in our Advent reading, God is love. You are love. And the love that you've shown us since before we were born is a love that has sustained us and kept us and meant everything in our lives. And Lord, in this Christmas season, as we celebrate the birth of your Son that you sent to personify love and to exemplify love, not just for that day, not just for the 33 years that he was on this earth, but forever, for all of us, for all of our sins, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for giving your Son that we may know what love really is, and giving your Son that the peace, hope, joy that go with love, that we would understand them. And that we would realize how much you must love us in the way that you loved him and sent him. Lord, as we celebrate love and as we think about what your love means for us this Christmas, help us to share that love with others. Lord, we know that we're called by you to share that love. And this Christmas, we want to give that gift to others. Lord, please receive these gifts for our white Christmas families that we're reaching out to today and tomorrow and all of this week. Please use these gifts to bless those families as much as possible. We know that they may not have everything that we have physically, but that they do have the same gift that we have in Jesus Christ. We ask that our small gifts to them in your name would have impact on their families, to give them some hope, to give them some reason to celebrate this Christmas, that they may see clearly the true reason for the season, and that all of us may experience and understand what you're doing for us this Christmas, which is offering anew the gift of Jesus Christ, the gift that means everything in our lives. Lord, bless us this week. Help us not to get dragged down. Help us not to get beaten up by our to-do list and the things that are in front of us that are important, but not nearly as important as us honoring you this week with our hearts and our minds and with the opportunity to share love to others that they may know about this great gift that we are blessed to know about. It is in your Son's name that we pray and praise you at Christmas. Amen.
Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, on this fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday before Christmas, we celebrate your greatest gift of love to us, your Son, Jesus Christ. You have shown your love in many ways, and we ask that your love will show through us to others. We humbly thank you for this gift and for all the other gifts that you have given us. Please help us to use these gifts to praise and glorify you. We give thanks for the many blessings that you have given us, and we are grateful for this opportunity to give back a portion of the financial blessings that we have received. Let these gifts be used to further glorify your name and to spread your message of love. It is in your holy name that we pray. Amen.
before coming to College Park, I was at a church in East Flat Rock, and while we were there, we had an opportunity to build a new sanctuary, and it was not oval shaped, I guess it was kind of just round circular with the pulpit kind of in the middle and a choir suite behind it, but all the way around the sanctuary, around the top, there were stained glass windows. And I think it was a company in Statesville that actually had designed them. But the stained glass, as it progressed around, it basically told the story, the biblical story. And it was quite fascinating. And one of the windows that struck me the most, as you would well guess, given the season, was the picture, the image of the Nativity. Because in that somewhat abstract art, there was just beautiful images of the excitement, the brilliance that must have accompanied that night. And I'm not talking about necessarily the environmental conditions. I'm talking about the spiritual dimension of that. And in many churches around the world, you will find stained glass windows that have a nativity scene. You'll see ox, you'll see sheep, you'll see there maybe shepherds, wise men. Of course, Mary, Joseph, and the baby, usually lying in a manger. And we love these windows because they tell the story of our Lord's birth. And we get excited when we see something that beautiful. In many churches, certainly among our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters, you see Mary often is the centerpiece. And you can discover that by looking at the dimensions of it and see where Mary is. And a lot of times she is front and center, usually with the baby. Other times you see images of her in a window all her own. And that stained glass Mary, who shines from so many windows, I think really shines from our scripture lesson this morning. I want to read for you. And I invite you to take your Bible if you have it with you, or certainly if you don't, there's one there in the pew that you can get access to. We're going to read from Luke chapter 1. This is entitled in the NIV, they put kind of a heading here, Mary's Song. It's known by many names, most popularly the Magnificat, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But we want to read this passage together. It's in Luke chapter 1 and begins in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich empty away. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Interesting passage of scripture. We hear it a lot. But let's remind ourselves the context of what we're talking about. Mary, as you will remember, heard a message from an angel that she was going to bear a son. And in surprise, emphasize surprise, great surprise, and in awe, Mary hustles over to the house of her friend Elizabeth. We think Elizabeth was a cousin. And to share the news, the exciting news. And when she gets there, Elizabeth rejoices with her because Elizabeth, too, is pregnant. And you recall that the unborn child that she carries would grow up to be John the Baptist, right? So, I mean, they're both there just kind of having a praise party. They're both really excited about that. And recognizing the one that's in her womb, Elizabeth's child, we know jumps for joy or makes some motion of joy because even at that point in his development, we know that he's rejoicing because he knows that the one that Mary is bearing is going to be very special indeed. And Elizabeth offers kind of impassioned congratulations to Mary. And Mary sings this song that we've just read together. We call it the Magnificat because in Latin it begins with the word Magnificat when the phrase is, "My heart magnifies the Lord." But while singing or while listening or reading Mary's song, what do we discover? I think we really kind of need to take a closer look at the Magnificat. What do you hear there? When you hear it read, do you hear a Hebrew folk song? No, not really. Do you hear an Aramaic lullaby? Hardly. Do you hear a classic aria? Well, maybe. Maybe so. And we'll hear it sung in classical refrains and orchestral and choral settings during the Christmas season. You've heard it. You just may not recognize it. So we're going to help you out. Our sound guy is going to play a little bit. Many versions, many renderings of this song, and I want to thank our youth choir for recording this one for us. Good job. Good job. But these sublime versions of poetry and music, you know, how they intertwine the music and the words that we have in whatever form that you hear it in, as inspiring as it may be, while telling the beautiful story, they really don't tell all of it. Because you see, aesthetics sometimes can blunt the point of something. We may miss the force, really, of Mary's songs because it's so ethereal casted. You know, because of the recasting in such an ethereal way, we miss the scope. To be sure, this is quite a resplendent psalm, but Mary's song has a striking vision about it. It comes to us not so much as an anthem that's composed for a beautiful setting like this with the garland and poinsettia tree. It really doesn't come to us in that fashion. Not by a long shot. It really is a dynamic thing. It's like dynamite. It's like an explosion. And Mary's song takes the kind of the CD rendering that we've heard and exposes the jagged edges of what she's saying. Her song is not so much like a choral motet, but more like fingernails on a chalkboard. And we know how we love that sound. I saw some of you just do this number. The Mary's song really is chilling. It's kind of defiant. It's revolutionary in its text. You see, Mary she's singing a freedom song. She speaks for God as she anticipates the birth of the one that she is carrying, and she expects a world to be turned upside down. She envisions our humanity turning 180 degrees. She filters the promises of the prophets, insisting that for God's sake, according to Amos, that God would let justice run down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. That's from Amos chapter 5. And she anticipates the life of the one that she carries to be the embodiment of that promise and other promises like it. So as we go about our various holiday routines, discovering that on the overbooked flight, we're the overbookie. You know, discovering that eggnog is nothing more than a cup of cholesterol. Discovering that the bicycle comes with 125 nuts and bolts and widgets with directions that are straight out of some demon's den. All right? And amidst all of this Christmas preparation that we're doing, we come across Mary's song. It, quite frankly, is kind of a poetic bomb. Not in the sense that it's not good, but in the sense that it will change our world. The mother of the expected Messiah asserts that Christmas involves a massive U-turn, an about-face. Christmas, Mary insists, turns our world upside down. And you say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm not buying that. What are you basing that? What is your evidence for that? Well, think of Mary, the most popular name given at baptism. Do you know that? Most popular name given at baptism. Think about all the Ave Marias that are repeated millions of times each day. How dare we suggest that this pillar of religious and profane culture, this radiant image glazed in stained glass windows, how would, dare we suggest that she is saying, turn the world upside down, that her son is going to turn the world upside down? Well, she does. That's why we say she says it, because in verse 51, she speaks of one who shows strength with his arm and scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Wow. She is certainly not going to win Sentimental Poet at Hallmark Cards this Christmas. You know, she has very little holiday cheer, it appears. She's taking a different tack. The thoughts of the proud that Mary sees scattered at Christmas time deals with lies, deception, fraud. She lived in a rough time in history. The first century, we talk about, well, it's never been worse for Christians, blah, 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 blah. In America, we don't know rough yet. She recognizes one that was coming to tell truth, one who was coming to tear the veil from those who would deceive us for their own benefit, whose self-interest distorts their every word and action. She bridles at those who scapegoat others and who use every conceivable rationale to hide and to justify their own tawdry ends. Mary knows well about deception. She lives in the middle of deception. She sees it in high places, that the twisting of truth and substituting propaganda for candor leads to the erosion of trust, to subvert the social contract, to corrupt the law, to poison institutions, to lead really to personal disintegration. The proud scattered by the thoughts of their hearts. It all goes back there. And Mary knew that. No stained glass Mary here. Not in this story. But Mary's not done. She goes on. She continues with the confidence in verse 52 and 53 that our God lifts those of low degree and fills the hungry with good things, sending the rich empty away. I don't know about you, but I've about decided that all that the political systems of our world do well is divide people. You know, and we're not going to get into politics, but just given the context of what we see and what we will see for the next year, you know, and if we listen to Mary's words and what she's declaring about her God, and if we read the words of Acts chapter 2, let me read that. I know it's a passage you're probably familiar with, but I think it's relevant to what we're discussing. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 44, talks about the early church, the body of Jesus Christ. In verse 44, it begins, all the believers were together. They had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as they had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Friends, I think that's what God intended for His people. That's what God intended for His church. Jesus taught it. The first century church practiced it. And we see the result in verse 47. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Mary forecasted to fill the hungry physically, spiritually, emotionally, to fill the hungry with good things. So friends, those nativities in our stained glass windows, Mary alone gracing many of them, promise in effect a new kind of world where justice and peace and equity and truth and reconciliation and human solidarity become the order of the day. And they're brought on by the love revealed in His Son. The love that we celebrate on the fourth Sunday of Advent. The love we anticipate God becoming man. The love of God revealed in His Son. That's the promise of Advent. And the voice and the commitment attributed to Mary that we so frequently ensconce in stained glass compels us to ask, really, Mary? In stained glass? Don't you believe it? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank You for the gifts that You give us each day. The gift of life. The gift of life eternal through the gift of Your Son. God, we know that we're undeserving because even as we've discussed all of these things, the conditions which Mary was looking around and seeing her world and the conditions we look around and see in our world, we know that we've brought most of this on ourselves. God, we just pray that, especially in this time of year, especially when our hearts are kind of dialed in to the festivities of the season, that we would take this opportunity to hear Mary's words of a world that she envisioned that her Son would bring into place. And we know that we're not there yet, but we pray that we would be messengers of pointing people to a perfect world that Jesus has brought into the kingdom of God, that we will fully realize when He comes back for us. God, we thank You for the chance to be together and to worship You, because we know that is a precious gift indeed. And we pray that as we take the things that we've learned today and apply them to our lives, that it would truly change our hearts. That it would turn us around and put us back in Your presence, and then You would lead us as we go forward in the world to be the light, to reflect the light of Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn in just a moment entitled The First Noel. And as we sing that, I want to invite you. I'm going to be here at the front. If you have something you'd like to talk about, whether it's your relationship with Jesus Christ, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, be glad to talk with you about that. Or maybe if you'd like to become a member of this congregation, there are ways, many ways we receive members. Whatever you'd like to talk about or pray about, I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you. If you don't want to come this morning, that's okay. Call me this week. I'd be glad to meet with you and talk about your concerns. But most of all, as you sing the words of the song, be honest with God. Allow Him to speak to you. And you respond back in complete honesty. Allow Him to show you those places in your heart that you need to surrender to Him. We'll have a good time of reflection and honesty with God as we stand and sing together now. Thank you. Please be seated. I want to remind you to come back tonight at 6 o'clock here in the sanctuary for the children and youth program and the reception. Will there be food? There will be food. So come. Come. Dinner and a show tonight. All right. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, as we go, help us to go in the peace of knowing that you walk beside us, guiding our steps, illuminating our path, so that we can point others to Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.